I'd like to begin the meeting by introducing our newest board member, Ms. Deborah Roush, to my left. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. I'm looking forward to working on the board. I appreciate the opportunity.
And we'll have the roll call.
Joyce Dill.
Here.
Phil Krein.
Here.
Deb Roush.
Here.
Mike Smith.
Here.
Sue Suter.
Here.
Do we have any additions to the agenda? Any citizen input? Maybe I should mention first, you may notice that there are fewer microphones in the room than there have been. And the reason for that is we've had some problems with, I guess, maintenance, but more important than that, some of them have been injured. So we have board members with microphones, and then if you have anything to say, we ask that you go to the table to do so that it can be on the microphone. Thank you. Any input from the Mental Health Board?
The only thing is I remind everybody that we have a meeting at 4:30. The Mental Health Board meets at 4:30 this afternoon. And then at 5:30, we will have a joint study session between the two boards to talk about the RFP.
We need to approve the minutes of May 21st and June 3rd. May 21st first. Motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion? I can just say all in favor, right? All in favor?
Aye.
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 For June 3rd, motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. I have no specific secretary comments. Peter, your executive director report.
Yeah, just a couple of things. One is sort of a housekeeping item that I would like the board to think about, and that is that there is the possibility of videoing or videotaping our meetings for public access, and the county has offered that up. We're not being videotaped today. I'd like your feedback on if that would be something that you would like to have as a additional transparency for this board, and the same thing will be for the Mental Health Board also. So that's something to think about. We're going to be discussing the RFP tonight, just to let you know a couple things. One is that we have done an addendum to the RFP, which addresses questions that have been raised during the course of provider or potential respondents reviewing the thing. We have answered the questions. We have also amended it to add the Champaign County Developmental Disability Board, we have also clarified several negotiation points related to the triple net lease. And at this point, we're extending the closing date to August 13th, so the providers have until August 13th. And everybody that has been, of course, it's posted on the website, but every agency that has expressed an interest in the RFP has been notified that the date has been extended. The only other thing that I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about is that since our meeting on June 3rd, and I put in front of you a copy of the briefing memo that I did on June 3rd, which kind of talks about the directions that things are heading, specifically item number 3, where it talks about changes in law, rules, and regulations. Since that time, item E, the final CMS home and community-based rule, I've been able to get a hold of several assessments of that rule. Actually, I had a meeting with Dale Morrissey yesterday, and he's I think all the providers are looking at the implications of the rule. But I want to refer you to the memo that I have from Dan Oler concerning, it's a very brief memo. The rule is about 300 pages long, but it actually isn't really that long because it includes public comment and so a great deal of the rule are the comments. But Dan Oler is a guy who used to run, ran the state of Ohio's, represented all the developmental disability boards in Ohio. He's nationally known. He also is currently now working for a managed care company. He's gone to the dark side. But part of this is that, developmental disabilities is going to go to the, is going to become managed, as is the other parts of the system. But I have a lot of respect for him, and he's attended several meetings, and I'm not going to read this whole thing to you, but a couple of the people that were at meetings with him was a man named Ralph Lawler, who is the director of long-term services and supports for CMS, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And the other person that was at the meeting that he attended, where they were essentially debriefing on this rule, was Pat Noby, who is a program specialist who was hired specifically to analyze and provide technical assistance on the rule. What I would like you to understand when you look at this is that we are in the midst of huge system change, and it's really driven by Medicaid. Medicaid is our entire system is paid for the most part, by Medicaid, and it's definitely moving in that direction. So this rule is really going to define where the system is going to go. And one of the things that Mr. Lawler pointed out was that, and I thought this was a really powerful sentence, was that CMS expects states to ensure, this is the third paragraph down on page one, to ensure that people with developmental disabilities have the same level of access to community as people that did not have a developmental disability. And that access applies to all facets of life, living arrangement, work, recreation, medical care, and everything that people do. And in terms of the timeline for this, there's differing opinions. I've heard somewhere that CMS is going to give us 5 years. This document suggests that it's going to be much quicker, because in order for the states to get their waivers approved, they have to come up with a transition plan that is approved by CMS, which I think that Dan Oler's opinion is 2 years is probably what we're looking at. So take a look at this. This is really, I think, go to the final rule itself and take a look at that too. We're going to get you as much information as we can concerning how this is going to roll out. But I want you, the other thing I would like you to do as board members is to go back to my June 3rd memo. And I got to tell you, I was going to write a new memo, but I went back and looked at this one, and I frankly think this is spot on. It is in line with what CMS is doing. It's in line with what the Justice Department's doing. Just yesterday, President Obama signed a bill that relates to changes in eligibility related to sheltered workshops. Our task, I think, as a board for the next year or two is to think about where we are in this transition. And we need to be thinking about to what extent, and I'll refer you to the second paragraph on the last page, we need to decide how we're going to assist agencies and providers in Champaign County to begin making these transitions that are frankly coming. And so our challenge is, how can we use local dollars to accomplish that and to move the system in the direction that it is clearly going? So take a look at that stuff, and also remind you, and Deb, as a new member, in November, we typically come up with our criteria and priorities for the next year's funding cycle. So I would think that this, you know, a lot of what's in here, we're going to be have to think about, and we're also going to have conversations with our providers, too. You know, I know that there's a lot of stuff going on with Employment First, but we need to talk about what can be done, what can we do to assist and to do things that are in the best interest of the people that have IDDD in Champaign County. So anyway, that's my report, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, this is sort of like, it seems like this sort of lays out our strategic planning for the next 10 years. And I'm glad we have the Employment First group. And I would just like us to think about as a board, like how we tackle this to do exactly what Peter said, assist providers, what we're going to invest in, and look at how as a board we might most productively do that and maybe generate some ideas about that with the community too.
Any other comments? Lynn, anything from staff?
It's been a lot of business as usual, just lots of it. So it's not as groundbreaking as what Pete's talking about. But we finished contract negotiations that I think every agency had some revisions to do. A few of those are still outstanding, but everything's coming in as expected. Contracts are finished. We have a couple here for signature. We're working to set up the reimbursement tracking system, and we'll have a training in about a month, a little less than a month. Is it August 13th? 14th. So the RFP ceremony is the 13th, and then the 14th we'll have this training. There are two agencies on the DD side and two on the mental health board side who will also be involved in this transition. We're starting with just 4 contracts into that, and it's all new to us too. So there's that. I've been doing lots of site visits. I had to leave. I was gone last week for personal business in Minnesota, but I've come back. It's pretty easy to get back to site visits and looking at all the third quarter and fourth quarter reports and finishing up last year and getting ready for next year. So happily, it's that kind of routine stuff. I did print out the news yesterday that Obama signed. This eligibility limitation is specific to people of transition age up to 24, and it will require the states to dedicate about 15% of their federal funding for voc services to providing community opportunities for transition-aged people before they are placed in any kind of sheltered setting. So it's a beginning. And I also put, last week, 2 weeks ago, chaired the DD subcommittee for ACMI, and our presenter was Robin Jones from Employment First. And she was trying to catch us up with the executive order, which is included in your packet. But along the way, it was clear that she didn't really understand our role. So the focus of our meeting became, you know, pretty much what you guys were just talking about, how we as funders and planners would like to be aligned with what's happening through the Employment First Task Force. And so we would like to be informed of the assembly of the task force and the steps that they're identifying as they're identified. And I think she was very responsive to that and understood that we're bringing potentially a lot of money to the table to either support their work or detract from it. So, you know, in the interest of being consistent, I think she was won over that a little stronger communication would be nice. And then I missed the ACMI meeting last week, but one of the DD subcommittee's goals is also to establish direct communication with Director Kevin Casey now on like 3 very specific topics, and one of those is Employment First. Another one is the changing role of the PASS and ISA agencies. Forgot what the third one was. It was, clarification on what constitutes Medicaid supplementation. So those were the three things we would like to be talking about directly with him. And we'll be talking to him next week, but our focus is slightly different for that conversation. So anyway.
Thank you.
One of the things this brings to mind that's going to be an emerging challenge as we look ahead, as I begin looking at these and trying to interpret them, I think they are talking about how we have integrated services. And while our community has some very well-established, very solid, and very respected sort of separated services, and I'm thinking of special rec, and I'm thinking of transportation and some others, we as a board are going to have to help strategize how do we begin making this more integrated to begin meeting these kinds of objectives. And that's going to be really, really challenging. It sounds like that's an emerging issue.
The MTD has a new director, and about 2 weeks before he took that position, we had a conversation about the use of the paratransit and why that's important for community integrated employment. And, you know, it's maybe he's overwhelmed at the beginning here, but didn't seem very open to any conversation about expansion, and talked to me about the cost, the great cost of paratransit compared to just using the regular routes and figuring out alternative ways to get people onto the regular routes. But at least we have opened a conversation about it. This was based on some concerns that you had shared at meetings prior, and I'll probably see him in about a month, and I can pick it up again. So.
Very good, thank you. Any agency information?
Good morning, Dale Morrissey, for the speaker, since there's nobody watching us yet. I had a couple things I wanted to run by you. First of all, you went through a very challenging thing the last two or three months, trying to distribute very scarce resources, and I just want to thank you on behalf of DSC, but more importantly on the people we serve, for the decisions you made. And we know it's tough and there's not enough there, but didn't want to go forward without thanking you very much for your support, and particularly recognizing the difficulty of the decisions you have to wrestle with. And so with that, I wanted to give you a little bit of update. DSC does have a significant budget shortfall. We, of course, need to get a budget on record by the end of June, and so it's approved, but we've got to work on it a lot. Our current budget is about $400,000 short, and instead of knee-jerking with that over the next few months, we've already been working on that. We're looking at how we're going to recognize that we can't live with that situation, and that means we're going to have to make some adjustments, whether that's in complete programs, facilities, or whatever. And so we're not anywhere close to that, but I met with Peter yesterday, and that was one of the discussion items we had. We'll keep you very informed with that, and of course some of those decisions we make will affect possibly your funding sources or asking you for some considerations as we look at that. So I have no specific things to tell you of how we're going to address that at that point in time, except that DSC's board has been working on it, recognizing this is coming forward, and we're going to continue to work on that, and we'll keep you involved. So let you know that. One of the things we did do in May as a board, and I'd like you to have at least put it on your agenda for consideration, is it's one of those political things. Our board went on record. They sort of have to left their personal political agendas away, and we actually went on record, and it actually became unanimous, is to support maintaining the tax increase in the state of Illinois. With the caveat, ours is written, and I'd be glad to share that with Peter and you, that says we support that with the idea that the money would, as long as you maintain at least the current service levels for people with developmental disabilities, intellectual, mental health issues, and alcohol and substance abuse issues. Because we felt that as our organization, and we feel as a public board, that although it's not a supporting a candidate, it's not a Republican or Democrat issue, we know that if that's not, or something's taken in place, there really is going to be cuts of 25% to 30% in rates that are already, as we've all talked about, 47th, 48th in the state. So I would like you to ask, at least you have consideration, to see if that would be appropriate for your board. Again, it was not, it was qualified. It wasn't saying we support that, but we felt that we needed to take a stronger position than just saying don't cut services to people with disabilities. We felt that we needed to say, if you're going to need revenues to do that, you know, we support that, but don't cut services to people with disabilities. So anyway, I'd be glad to share that document. Many organizations, by the way, around the state have taken that position and supported that and moved that on to the governor's office and to the legislature. I wanted, the final thing is just a couple quick things. Echoing what Peter said, the home community-based support rule that you were just talking about, I was asked to attend a meeting, a four-state meeting, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa. 40 people from each state were asked to come to talk about the rule to provide feedback. And it's really interesting. It goes with all these statements, how far behind we are, even just behind those three surrounding states. It's really scary. And both with that home-based rule. By the way, this is all very exciting. If you look about with the home-based rule, the governor signing the Workforce Investment Act yesterday, and Employment First, if you look at this all together, it's like taking Legos and going on steroids. You know, that's very, very positive stuff when it all comes together and it gets funded and meets the needs of people. But we're so far behind in the state of Illinois, so far behind. The real concern here is not just reacting and mixing the local funding, but how these things will come down, and without other litigious lawsuits or consent decrees, how our people are going to get hurt or left behind. And so I guess in one sense, if this comes down as fast, state of Illinois can't possibly comply. And so maybe that'll be more consent decrees or law things that'll help bring us forward. And I don't like us to legislate that way, but there's a lot of very positive things. But if things don't happen, it's going to put all organizations out of compliance, because you can't possibly meet the things that are in this rule or in the Workforce Investment Act. And then the final thing I wanted to share with you is that the concerns with WIA, which is, again, the Workforce Investment Opportunity Act and Employment First, is it's mixing all populations, and that's hurtful for our population when you mix us competing on Employment First with disabled veterans or other people that have potentially more opportunities than us. I think we got to be careful. We don't want it to be special treatment, but we don't want to assume that the people that are at our most significant needs are not left behind. And that's the thing that we have to all keep reminding people, is that let's not just throw us all in the lump with everybody, because if not, our people are going to get served last and they're not going to get those needs. And so as I'm at the different tables, and I know as Peter is, that's the thing we got to keep echoing. And I know Jennifer too, at the state level, we got to keep echoing that our population of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities aren't just left as a group and the same, because all their needs are not the same, and that's not being recognized in some of these things. I'm recognizing that very clearly in my role on the State Employment First Act. And we are having our next local meeting with a few of us on Employment First on Thursday. And then the final thing is, even though DSC has the budget shortfall, as much as we can, DSC is going to continue our efforts in expanding on the SILA and continue our efforts on Employment First. And so those are going to be beacons for us, even though we know we may have to reduce in other areas. We know that's a very important need, and we're going to continue to do that. So thank you for allowing me to speak to that.
Thank you, Dale.
Hi, Jennifer Knapp from Community Choices. The one thing that I have to update you guys on is, I don't know if anybody came to the meeting in May from CSH. They're doing supportive housing. This is a model that's been used before for people who are veterans and have mental illness, and they're doing an institute this fall to try to expand that model for people with developmental disabilities. And so we have put together a team and submitted an application to them to go through their institute. And they have preliminary indication that we will be accepted as one of the teams. And so, again, not quite sure exactly what that means, but we will keep you informed as we develop a potential alternative model for housing. And so the idea with supportive housing is that people have their own apartment and lease, and the housing is separate from the services, kind of idea. So we will keep you informed as we learn more.
Thank you.
I had had just a couple of things. One, I'm participating in the Life Choices Project, which is the ISC kind of revision and the teams. There's six teams statewide that are kind of looking at how to serve families in the way that best meets their needs and in form of what really matters. And one of the, I just wanted to reference the specific team that I'm sitting on is the quality and monitoring. And so there's some information that's kind of funneling from some of those other teams, and we're looking at revising the visiting notes. But I think the most noteworthy change that seems to be kind of confirmed as it's starting to gel is that eligibility is going to be considered before somebody goes on PUNS, which is significant. That's going to make a big difference, I think, here too. When we're looking at admissions and people are being presented for services and stuff, we get really caught sometimes in the state not necessarily recognizing someone, or they're putting everyone on PUNS, so people are assuming that they're eligible, and then what happens is the documentation doesn't support that. So whether they're county-funded or state-funded, we end up in a little bit of a quandary, and it's a mixed message to families. So I think, you know, whether that's a year or two out when everything gets finalized and that gets fully implemented, I think that's probably one of the most significant changes that I see coming that's going to benefit families and those trying to serve them. So I'm excited about that. DSC has a fundraiser on August 2nd. It's the Eastern Illinois Parrot Head. I am selling, I have raffle tickets and event tickets if anybody's interested. There's a lot of area local businesses on there. The raffle is for $5,000. The tickets are $5 or five for 20. If you support local businesses, and I'm sure everybody does, you get your money back instantly and you're kind of out there. So, and then it's on August 2nd. It's in a new location, downtown Champaign, in front of the Orpheum Children's Museum. Lots of bands, lots of fun events taking place. And one of the things that the reason that I really wanted to mention it is tickets are $10, but this is also an opportunity for self-advocates to promote some of their own products and do some fundraising themselves, which supports the summit that they go to every fall. So that ends up being kind of a venue for them to kind of share their voices and what's important to them during that venue, and they usually have a booth set up. So if that's something that you're interested in, I can stick around for a few minutes, and you can give me a shout or shoot me an email if you're interested.
If you want first-class tickets, I've got it.
Notice that he did not say that when he sat up here, so see me. And then lastly, Deb, I wanted to welcome you, and we're looking forward to, we've got a site visit set up for new board members. I think Phil Krein is going to join us for some of that, and we're looking forward to having you come and see. I know you hear lots in these meetings, but until you see it and kind of meet those that are charged with making things happen, I think it'll be a really nice picture, and you'll be able to see where we're at and where we're headed. So we are looking forward to hosting and having you there. So thank you.
Any other?
I have to tap something, but should I wait to the end? I don't know if this is appropriate because I'm not funded.
It's a good time.
Linda Tortorelli from the Autism Program I'm speaking for right now. I'm excited to tell you that we are bringing Emily Island to the community October 15th and 16th, and has a curriculum called Be Safe, and she is going to be doing a full day training on for individuals that work with people with developmental disabilities to teach them how to be safe with law enforcement. And it's going to be the second day will be an evening event. We'll be inviting law enforcement individuals to work with people with developmental disabilities and the people that have been through the training the previous day to start implementing some of the curriculum. So there'll be some hands-on opportunities for people that have been through the training to really know how to implement the curriculum. So I'm really excited about that, and there's lots of information on the web about Emily Island and her Be Safe curriculum. So we're hoping to get a good turnout, and next week I'll be working on finding a venue for that. But it'll be October 15th and, did I say 15th and 16th?
Thank you. Anyone else?
Mr. Secretary, I would just like to thank our community providers, because I know you have a ton of stuff on your plates right now, and the fact that you are so involved on the state level in the national level, and your enthusiasm really helps us as a community. So I just want to thank you for your involvement in that, because that strengthens our community in terms of what we're doing. So thank you.
Anything else? If not, we'll move on. We need a motion to approve the claims as included in the packet.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
It's now election of officers for the new year. Do I hear any nominations?
Yes, I'd like to nominate Sue Suter as our president and Michael Smith as our secretary.
A second?
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor? Aye.
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 So done. I would like to take this opportunity to thank Elaine Palencia for her time. I'm sorry she's not here. We seem to always do this when we have an exchange. We never seem to have the person we're thanking here. Maybe we can be a little better at that as time goes by. But anyway, giving of your time and caring so much, and I think Elaine did a great job assisting us.
Can we make that official? Let's make a motion thanking her for her service and so forth. I'd like to move that.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Phil. We have a decision memo included that we need to accept. Do you want to make any comments?
This is what we used to call the anti-stigma, but is what's the new name? Inclusion, acceptance, and
the alliance. Right now.
The alliance. Yeah. I should have been prepared. Air. Well, we always have to follow what the feds say. Anyway, this would be, as you know, we've been long-term sponsors. The Mental Health Board and the Developmental Disability Board have co-sponsored the Alliance, which is a community group. Many of the providers are with us. This past year, I think Lynn has done a really good job of organizing the art exhibits, and that was one of the main things. But we continue to think this is a really good venue because it actually brings the public into contact with people that have disabilities, and we also get a lot of a lot of good press, and I think it's a very worthwhile thing that we're doing with this for very little money, because there always is, we do have an offset that comes back, so it ends up not costing us very much, but. So anyway, that's that. I would ask that you consider, make a motion and consider it and approve it, if you would.
My name is Mark Scott. I'm with the Down Syndrome Network. I was just at the National Down Syndrome Congress National Convention in Indianapolis, and we actually were at the Down Syndrome Network. We're trying to get, there's an independent film being made. It's actually already made, and it's not being released yet. But it's called Produce, and it's about a man with Down Syndrome who works in a supermarket as in the produce section. Anyway, he befriends an ex-baseball player, and they become friends. And it's just a typical heartwarming type movie, about learning from the guy with Down syndrome. Anyway, I've seen the movie. It's not been released yet. I highly recommend it. And actually, this is the first time I even heard about the involvement with the Ebert Festival. But I'm actually already trying to get them to bring the movie here into Champaign already. And we were already talking about doing some kind of big push with that. So I'd like to offer my assistance to whoever would like it, you know, because like I said, we'd love to be involved with that as well. So if anybody wants to go look at the trailer on the internet, it's iamproduce.com.
Excellent. What I can tell you we can do is talk to the people at the festival and see if they would consider the movie.
It's right now, I've had a lot of communication with the movie producer. We're actually trying to get the star of the movie to come up to our buddy walk in October. The movie's being released in March 21st for National Down Syndrome Day. And I believe the Eberfest is usually in April.
April, right.
Yeah. So the timing could work out. So I don't know. And so, like I said, right now the distribution of the movie is being worked out. So they don't even have a method to distribute the movie at the moment. So all that stuff's kind of in flux at the moment. But I've seen the movie. It's you know, it's not like a stellar, you know, awesome, you know, Hollywood-type flick. It's an independent movie. But it is... it's very well done, very well done, and I have no qualms highly recommending the movie. And it's got a nice message, real positive message, and it really would facilitate the inclusion and acceptance type message. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I guess what we're looking for is a move to approve.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
There you go.
Take your pick. Any discussion? We'll have a roll call.
Phil Krein?
Aye.
Deb Rouge?
Aye.
Mike Smith?
Aye.
Sue Suter?
Aye.
Joyce Still?
Aye.
Okay, next thing on our item, on our agenda, is the 2014-15 board meeting schedule. I don't know if you guys noticed, but there's a significant change in what's being proposed. I think maybe a little background might be appropriate.
This is not an item for action. It's an item for discussion. We're just... You know, I was having a very hard time discovering a time that everyone could actually do so. I just threw this one out there. It is not. The room's available. We're already here. The room is also available on Thursday mornings, but that wasn't perfect for everyone. So this is really just because we do need to set up a schedule for the next few meetings at least. I thought we should. I just started with a guess. I'm sorry.
The other facet of why we were looking at the evening meeting was we had several, as you know, several county board members who have attended some of our recent meetings, and with the discussion about the RFP the comments that some people felt that it would have been good if there was an opportunity for the two boards to have had a conversation together. It was suggested to me by two different board members that we think about having the meetings back to back, that way that would offer an opportunity for there to be some crossover conversation. The other thing is that in at least one other county that has a 708 board and a 377 board, they actually have their meetings together, you know, and basically adjourn one, so it's totally transparent. So that's why we were looking at that. And as Lynn said, this is entirely open. We don't have to do what was suggested, but it's like what works best for this board. And as far as my position as staff, whatever you guys say is fine. If you want to meet at 3 in the morning, I'll be there.
I also thought it maybe was important for the DD board to follow the mental health board, since both boards are responsible independently for some planning of IDDD services. The DD board could then have the last word. I mean, at least for a while, that would be.
That hasn't proved to be the truth, though, has it?
No, but if the meeting were after, then it could.
Wouldn't have made any difference. I'd like to hear what any of the agencies have to say. How would you feel about such a change from a morning to an evening?
Lord have your mercy.
I'll be with Peter at 3. My only concern when I look at this is, my only concern is running into if one meeting's longer. So if they stay at 4:30 and you start at 6, they're creeping and you guys are waiting a long time. And that's my only comment, but I don't care. We'll be here and we'll have the staff resource to support whenever you need. That was my only concern.
And study sessions.
And study sessions. It'll be a real, the good news is you don't have that gap between, but it'll be a real marathon where you put the study session on the front end of it, going back into it. So that's all your stuff, but that's just my comments. But we'll support and do whatever you want.
I also wonder, what do you think about individuals we serve and families? Do you think 6 o'clock is an easier time, makes it easier for folks to attend? Do you have any feel for that, one way or the other?
Potentially. I mean, I know it's difficult for people to
come
at 8.
Okay.
Anyone else?
I would just like to encourage that we try this kind of thing. I think it'd be nice to try for a few meetings to see how we can coordinate with the other board and see whether we can get more citizen input with an evening meeting. I mean, I think that's always a matter of debate, although 8 o'clock, you know, typically families are either trying to get somebody off to school or something, right? So that's probably the worst time. Whether this is much better is something we'll just have to experiment with. I know for me personally, this works a lot better because it stays away from work schedules.
Fine with me, if we want to try it.
That's fine with me also. As the new kid on the block, I'll just go with whatever as far as meeting times. But I do like the idea of having the meetings together so that it's easier for all of us to sit in on their meeting and so forth. And
The only reason I'm not talking much is because I can't. But I like the idea mostly because I think it does give families a better chance to actually say what's going on and what their concerns are. And I also think that since I'm the one who really was wanting the mental health board and the DD board to really communicate better, this may be our option for that.
Thank you. I guess in terms of what we've done, have we completed what you wanted us to do? It was just discuss it, and then you'll come back, and we'll make a.
You never have to.
You'll let us know. We'll have the final decision about board meetings in the future next
the
time.
But I guess if everybody's okay with this, then we can implement it.
Well, I think it's important enough when you make a change from 8 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock at night that we say we're going to do it and then we do it rather than just not come to a decision. So I think even though we don't have to vote, it seems to me the consensus is that we go ahead with the change. Is that correct?
And then Stephanie just pointed.
You could say it.
I just wanted to point out that the next meeting is September, and that's an 8 o'clock meeting. So the 6 p.m. meeting won't start till October.
Well, unless they want to change it.
The real question, I think, would be how does it fit what we're talking about, 4-HB? So I think you had some conflicts sometimes on the 8 o'clock. I guess for me, if we're going to change it, we might as well change it with the next scheduled meeting rather than it get complicated. Does that sound like?
We'll post it everywhere, so if you want to do that.
It will be done.
We'll post it widely, and so I think that's totally fine, and that's 2 months from now.
I would also ask that the agencies notify their constituents that we're making this change. And
are going to change
yes.
September.
But let's put one caveat on it, that if it turns out that 6 o'clock is too early, if we're bumping up against the mental health board, then that we may in the future move it to 6:30 or something like that, whatever, or 5:30, if that's what makes for a more seamless transition from one to the other.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, so that's the open-ended part.
With a caveat.
Is that all right?
Yeah, great.
Okay, next on the agenda is the fiscal year 15 budget. We have a decision memo, and I think we have to have a move to approve.
Yeah, just to, since we have a new board member, to let you know how this works, like most governments, we are always in the budget process. And at this point, we're asking you to approve this budget. And you can see the spreadsheet there that shows the revenue and the expenditures. And then next to that, for your information, is the Mental Health Board budget. And that's because, you know, the agreement between the two boards, you know, splits the administration, or the administrative costs. And so anyway, that's, it's for you to look at. What's going to happen now is on July 29th, we meet with Deb Busey and Van Anderson of the county, and we will present this. We also have a narrative that is also included that will come out after we meet with them. But these are the numbers. We meet with them. We always have to do some revisions. And then in August, I believe it's, what date is it, Nancy? August 26th, I believe. I think it's August 26th. We will meet with the county board, present our budgets to them, and then based on their approval, that budget then will move forward. And when the county board officially passes the county budget in November, we're set to go. And this authorizes us to spend the money that we get from the levy. It's a little bit of a more painless process because the money that comes to this board and to the mental health board is separated, you know, is tied to the levy and to statute. So we're not in competition with other county units of county government. So, you know, if there's a highway problem, they can't use our money, and you know, and but they also they authorize spending, and so they have to approve our budget. Normally, they don't get into which, you know, how the money is spent related to contracts, this is typically what is approved. And if anybody's interested, you can look at the current budget online. And any board members that want it will get you hard copies if you want it. And as soon as the drafts are approved by Deb Busey, we will get those out. Well, we'll have them at the September meeting anyway. And then, of course, board members are always welcome to attend the county board meeting. And we have Gary who helps us when we meet at the county board. So that's kind of how it works.
Yeah, we need a motion to approve the budget.
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Any further discussion? And we need a roll call for that, do we?
I think so.
Yeah.
Bill Klein?
Aye.
Deb Rouge?
Aye.
Mike Smith?
Yeah.
Sue Suter?
Aye.
Joyce Still?
Aye.
And I would also say if any board members have questions about either the mental health board budget or this board budget, feel free to call me anytime. You know, we can go over it.
Okay. Also in our packet was a proposed mental health board budget. There's no action, of course, for us to take that. Just let you see what their budget looks like, and I guess they'll be approving that tonight. Moving on, we have a revision to the bylaws that we need to vote on. I assume everyone has read through it. I don't think there was anything earth-shaking in it. It's just some changes and some wording in places. So I look for a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Old business, employment first. And we have a copy of the executive order included. Do we have any further discussion on that other than what we had earlier on? If not, we'll move on. There's a Ligas Court Monitor report included. Anything you want to say about that? There's an awful lot of numbers there.
Mm-hmm.
And the presentation that Tony Ligas made on June 11, as there are minutes from that in the board packet for the Mental Health Board's meeting tonight. And in that are some numbers specific to Champaign County. So this is statewide data. But the details from Champaign County were pretty interesting. And I thought it was just good timing to have them side by side. But then the other data is in the other board packet. So they're not exactly side by side.
I found this information really hard to digest. Mm-hmm. I know I'm an accountant, so I read numbers and do things all the time. But this is just seems like it's really, really hard. Do any of the rest of you find that to be
absolutely
the case?
Absolutely.
It's hard for me to, when mm-hmm. I'm done with looking at all that, to understand what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
It's an awful lot of information. Anyway.
Just a comment. I think he did a good job of kind of covering the high points when he did his presentation. So you may want to go back and look at the minutes from his presentation, because he kind of talks about, you know, what how Ligas is impacted on people statewide, what the class mm-hmm. looks like, what it looks like then in Champaign County, and you know, I think it simplifies it to mm-hmm. some degree. And he also, I mean, I think the other thing that he kind of hits on is that it has had a huge impact in terms of the amount of money that it's brought into the system.
Right.
I think it was $265 million, you know, that's kind of directly related to Ligas. So, you know, it's take a look at that again, and you're right, this is confusing, no question.
And there were also some really good questions and answers about next steps, which I think this, you know, this may not be as useful as the minutes from that conversation. So, anyway.
Anything else?
Could you, thanks, Joy. Could you resend out the minutes of that? Do you have those?
They're in the packet.
Oh, in our package?
No, they're in tonight's packet.
Okay.
To be approved tonight.
Okay, so after tonight, maybe you could email us those minutes, because that would be a good summary.
Yeah.
Is there anything else, staff, you would want to highlight to us that we should know about the Ligas report? Besides what you okay.
Do you understand it? That's the question.
Yeah.
Microphone.
I'm always looking at the Champaign County information exclusively. I'm not as interested in statewide as I probably should be. But
thank you. Our final item is the Disability Resource Expo. Barb?
Yeah.
Please.
Okay, good morning. Okay, just you have my written report, but just a couple things that may not be in that. Our committees have been very busy, of course, now that we just have a few more months here until October 18th. We are in our new facility, we will be. We've toured it again the last meeting just to kind of get a better idea of where we're going to put things and how it's going to look. Nancy and Jim Mayer and I went to the Abilities Expo in Schaumburg a few weeks ago and found that once again to be really helpful. We had an opportunity to meet with the owners of Abilities Expo, and they just had some really good ideas. I think they were really impressed with what we're doing, what we've done here. Anyway, that was a really good thing. The other thing we got from that is we've identified a few, some new technology that we want to bring here. still working with some folks to make that happen. I have had contact with one that I think may come through, hopefully. And if so, our expo may be its actual rollout of this new technology, so that'll be kind of cool. excuse me. The exhibitor call for exhibitors has gone out, gotten a few trickling in, but so far not real heavy yet, but I think it will start being that way. Sponsorship-wise, we've done two mailings, probably totaling a couple hundred businesses and organizations that have received our sponsorship letters. We have gotten pledges back to date of about $1,400, a little bit more than that. So things are coming in. The first one was actually a new sponsor, so that's kind of exciting that that one will be coming through. The entertainment committee is going to meet again this afternoon, but we have confirmed with Chris Herrera. Chris is has diastrophic dwarfism, and he is a composer and classical pianist. He has a movie out called Composed. He has a CD, Enter the Twilight. He's been on Oprah, and he's done a lot of things anyway. So, and he does some motivational speaking kind of during his presentation. So I think that's going to be really good. We are seeking a piano or keyboard for him so that he doesn't have to move some heavy equipment. He's coming from the Schaumburg area. So anyway, if anybody has any great ideas where we can get that donated, please let us know. And Sue is working with us on that as well. So I think that's pretty much it. We're hoping to confirm the Central Illinois Children's Basketball team to come and do some presentation for us that day as well. So don't have everything confirmed, but Chris is. Okay.
Thank you very much. Anything further?
I have one thing. I wanted to let the board know that I have asked Chandra Somerville to prepare some recommendations concerning how we can integrate cultural competence and cultural linguistic competence into our decision process in November. Obviously, the issues of disparities and access to service is a huge issue, and I would encourage all of the providers to contact Chandra. She's very open. She's actually at this point a nationally recognized person in this area, so we can learn a lot from her. And I don't know, Tracy, do you have anything you want to say? You were just out there in D.C. concerning the CLC.
Well, I know I said it at the agency council meeting. There's some new class standards around cultural competency, and so Chandra's been doing some community awareness training meetings, and I would encourage you to participate. I know the next one's on the 31st of this month, and so there are some slots available, and I would encourage the board members or providers to attend.
Thank you. Anything further? Point out one thing, if you, I don't know if everybody has a copy of this, but in our packet where we have the board suggested board meetings and the time change, following that is a more detailed listing of meetings and things in our schedule for various things. So pretty impressive. I think it's the first time we've seen it like this. But anyway, it's there. A reminder, we do have the study session tonight directly following the Mental Health Board. We're not quite sure what time that is, so I think we're showing up at 5:30. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And I don't know if their meetings are as efficient as ours. We'll just have to see.
I talked to the president. We will start at 5:30. It'll be seamless.
For all these years, we've tried our best to be in and out in an hour, and Sometimes we work and sometimes we don't, but we're pretty close today. Also, no meeting in August, but in September, on September 17th, again at 6 p.m. right here. Anything else? Okay, we're done.